The Old Testament reading is from Genesis 4. Listen for God's word. Now the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have produced a man with the help of the Lord." Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out into the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it will no longer yield to you its strength, and you will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Today you have driven me away from the soil, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and anyone who meets me may kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. Whoever kills Cain will suffer a sevenfold vengeance." And the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who came upon him would kill him. Then Cain went from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The word of the Lord. And from the Gospel of John in the 15th chapter, Jesus teaching his disciples, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation within each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of the worst feuds in the history of the earth have been and continue to be among those who are rather closely entwined. We saw it between the Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda. And before the April 10th, 1998 Belfast Agreement, thank God for Senator George Mitchell, we saw it in Ulster. And then there are the centuries of Semitic conflict between Jews and Arabs in the Near East. And today, as we speak, struggle between the Zaidi Houthis and the Shafa'i Sunnis in Yemen. Relatives, rivals, brothers, enemies. This reality was turned into humor by the Smothers Brothers back in the 60s, as elder brother Tommy would explain his inept ways to younger brother Dick with the accusation, "Well, Mom always liked you best." Is there truth behind that? No matter how firmly a parent resolves to treat all the kids alike, inevitably, because all the kids are a little different, they have to be treated a little differently, and sometimes those differences are then perceived by one of the other children as favoritism. Did I say can be perceived? Oh, They surely are perceived as surely as we expect rain in April.
It's just that our expectations haven't quite been met this April.
It doesn't seem fair. Why should my brother get all the advantages? Is he better than I am? I should get a little more consideration. And people have ranted like that in family feuds for millennia, and so ranted Cain. Now, the book of Genesis simply doesn't speculate as to why Cain's offering was not as acceptable as Abel's. Don't know. And the editors in the 6th century who wove together the ancient traditions that become known to us as the book of Genesis also do not explain, if you take this with wooden literalism, who is around to kill Cain? Those apparent inconsistencies didn't bother the 6th century priests in Babylon who put together the book of Genesis, and it shouldn't bother us as well. But behind the lines of this story is the age-old conflict between those who raised grain and those who herd livestock. Here in Nebraska, back in the 1880s, 1890s, we had range wars between the farmers who were fencing and the herders who wanted open grazing. In the Broadway musical Oklahoma, the standoff was captured in a song. The farmer and the cowhand should be friends. Oh, the farmer and the cowhand should be friends. One likes to push a plow, the other likes to chase a cow. That's no reason that they can't be friends. They should be, but historically and usually not. So, we simply don't know why Cain's offering was not accepted. Like toddlers who cannot understand why a parent takes away a fun toy like a bag from the dry cleaners. We don't know. Are parents obliged to try to explain to a two-year-old why they're taking a dry cleaning bag away from them? No. Is God obliged to explain everything to you and me? No. So, anyway, Cain is angry. Life is unfair. But note, God does not blame Cain for the resentment, really. The words of God reported in the text are sort of on the order, let me paraphrase, okay, Cain, you can still do okay by yourself and you will be accepted. But then comes the warning. This is creating a temptation for you, Cain. Sin is lurking at your door. It wants to ensnare you, but you must master it. Jesus once said that anyone who hates has already committed murder in the heart. Cain was not able to quench the seething hatred he had for his brother, and hatred in the heart turned to murder in his hands. Cain had a choice but yielded to animosity. And the litany of hate repeats itself over and over and over again. It doesn't seem fair. Why should my brother get all the advantages? I was coming in from the field and I heard singing and dancing in the house and a fatted calf roasting on a spit. And then I discovered that that worthless prodigal brother of mine had come home after wasting half the inheritance on prostitutes. And my father has the gall to throw a party for him. I hate him. It doesn't seem fair. Why should my brother get all the advantages? Is he better than I am? I should get a little more consideration. I was out in the field hunting to find a deer to bring a venison stew to my father Isaac and receive his final blessing, but that conniving, cheating brother of mine, Jacob, fixed up a goat stew and seasoned it to taste like venison and stole my father's blessing from me. I hate him. It doesn't seem fair. Why should my brother get all the advantages? Is he better than I am? I should get more consideration. Our father, Jacob, gave him this long-sleeved coat of many colors, a leisure coat, like he's not supposed to work in the fields like the rest of us. We should get more consideration. I hate him. And so the litany goes on and on. Family feud turned to hatred through the pages of the Bible, through the pages of life today. In the words of our epistle lesson, if anyone says, I love God, but yet hates a brother or a sister, that person's a liar. For if you cannot love the brother or sister you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? It's essential for our relationship with God that we straighten out our relationship horizontally with brothers and sisters. And don't take the words sister and brother literally. That's just a way to back out of responsibility like Cain tried to do when he retorted to God's query, am I my brother's keeper? Jesus was constantly widening the responsibilities of our life together. When told, he was teaching in a house in Capernaum once, and a very crowded house. And somebody passed word up to him that his mother and his brothers were outside looking for him. And looking around all those people, he said, so who are my mother and my brothers? The one who does the will of God is my mother and my brother and my sister. And when a lawyer wanted to limit the scope of responsibility, he knew that the law asks us to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But he said, and so who is my neighbor? You know, if you can define it narrowly, then you don't have as much responsibility. And so Jesus tells this parable about a man who was going up from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Parable of the Good Samaritan, the point of which is to widen the scope, the definition of neighbor to those who are usually held in disdain. The text I had printed below the sermon title in today's bulletin is important. God gives to all life and breath, and from one blood created all the families that inhabit the whole earth. Acts 17. Whenever we feud with another person, we're feuding with a member of our family, family of God. The word that's translated in this version as families is usually translated as clans or nations, and the word is ethnos, the root Greek word behind our words ethnic and ethnicity. It's ironic, I think, as we talk about the ethnic conflicts that have erupted in history between in Serbia and in Rwanda and India, in between the Kurds and the Iraqis, between factions in Yemen today. Ethnic is used to describe what divides people. But the Bible here uses that word in a verse that tells us that God's claim unites us. In those feuds, those who dispute do not generally want to recognize each other as brother or sister. But we are, emphatically. And who can claim to love God when we do not see, if we can't love the brother or sister we see? As Walter Brueggemann, Old Testament scholar, wrote in his commentary on Genesis, how can we face the Lord of life if the juices of death are flowing in our veins? That's why Cain was not too anxious to be confronted by God in the wake of the murderous treachery that he meted out to his brother. For Cain, and for the older brother of the prodigal, for the brothers of Joseph, for Jacob's brother Esau, for generations upon generations of family, it begins with envy, and envy turns to hate, and hate turns to evil. Cain was warned, sin is lurking at your door. Its desire is to ensnare you, but you must master it. Mastering the dark forces that can lead to family feuds, and all feuds are family feuds, involves first recognizing that the person with whom we are contending is a member of the family, of one blood, our brother, our sister. And the lesson for us today is to seek and see kinship with one another in every day's encounters with one another, and to recognize those people as related to us, and then ask ourselves, how are we going to treat them? Amen.